All right, let's go to Pittsburgh and go to PNC Park and bring in our good friend Kerry Crowley, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you?
Excellent, Marty. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to see you, of course, as always. Great to have you on the show. We love having you on. I talked a little bit about what Javi Lopez said last night, and I thought it was perceptive in that first inning. I mean, two outs right in the bag. Then Bumgarner couldn't throw the ball past anybody. The ball was flat right over the plate. And Javi said the Pirates were protecting inside, and Bumgarner didn't adjust and go away until the second inning. Any thought on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really think that when Madison Bumgarner has his command, he's still able to be the Madison Bumgarner of old. But if there's any sort of dip in that command, if he's off by just a few inches, the stuff just isn't as sharp as it used to be. And we saw that in the first inning. You can't walk a hitter like Kang, a 130 hitter with two outs and nobody on base, and expect to get away with it. And so the Pirates were protecting inside. You saw Cervelli slam a ball down the left field line. That's really what got that offense going. And after that, you know, Bumgarner settled in. He did a really nice job of mixing things up, keeping the Pirates off balance. But when you give up four in the first inning, it's too big of a hole for this Giants team to come back from.
Well, you've been covering it all year long, and you log more games than anybody, believe me. The great Alex, and Henry, and Andy is off in New York somewhere, and Maria, of course, just getting used to the beat. But you do more than anybody. You've seen this club. Now, here they come out of Colorado series, 3 out of 4. They get one hit, and they go into Washington and win the first game, and now they've lost 3 in a row. What's the mood around the ball club, and what's the mood around evaluating this club?
I think at the beginning of the season, you know, after that first road trip, they were all saying, don't panic. We'll get things turned around at home. We've got confidence in this group. But right now, I'm not so sure that they're just as confident as they were. I think that Colorado series was good for them. But I think that it would be really a big pickup for this team to win the next two in Pittsburgh and to show that their offense can do something, because they really missed an opportunity against Jeremy Hellickson the other night. They knew Thursday wasn't going to be a good matchup against Pat Corbin. They've never hit him well. And so to lose a game when Bumgarner starts and gives you 5 scoreless after that first inning, it's demoralizing. And I think that they really could use the pickup on the road here to take a series from Pittsburgh and prove that they're still going to make this interesting instead of falling back so deep so early, especially with the Dodgers on this 6-game win streak right now.
Boy, amazing how they don't score in the first inning. 6 for 66,
no.
And Panik and Duggar, all the strikeouts. Look, Joe Panik is one of the toughest guys in the world to strike out. He struck out 3 times. Duggar, we know, is just learning his craft. He's got 29 strikeouts already. But can they do anything at the top of the order? Now, again, Henry, you reported that Farhan was in deep conversations with Bochy last night after the game. What could happen?
Well, I mean, Farhan talks to Bochy after every game, and so we've seen him in there, and some nights are longer than others. Last night was a longer conversation. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they gave Steven Duggar the night off or the day off and allowed Tyler Austin to go play left field, put Gerardo Parra in right, and move Parra up to the top of the order, because he's a veteran hitter, an on-base guy, does well against right-handers, and that's what Tyon is. And so he's had some better at-bats lately. I think you could see him closer to the top of the order. Maybe Longoria moves up, getting in that 2 or 3 slot. You could move Posey down. You got to keep Belt in the middle of the order, because he's really the biggest power threat right now. I just think that this team would benefit a little bit from a shakeup, and maybe that is getting Tyler Austin in there against right-hander and giving Steven Duggar a day off, or maybe putting Solarte in there against right-hander and resting Joe Panik, just to see the different looks that can give you.
Sounds like they're going to push Posey a little bit. Maybe, you know, they've given him the 5 days off in the first 21 games. Maybe they're going to push him a little bit now.
Well, I'm always a little bit skeptical until we see his name on the lineup card that they're going to push him. Bochy said in Washington that they really would like him to play all 3 games here in Pittsburgh, and the schedule kind of allows them to do that with a 4 o'clock game today as opposed to a 7 o'clock game. So it's not as harsh of a turnaround for Posey, but maybe we see him catch 2 of these and play first base for one. That wouldn't surprise me at all, just because I don't think they're quite ready to unleash him like they would like to. So, you know, we'll see over the next 2 days, but if he ends up catching all 3, I would take that as a really good sign for the Giants.
Yeah, I think so. And again, you know, the exit velocity is pretty good. He did drive in a run last night, his second RBI of the year. But boy, to have him in that four spot and Belt in the three spot and Longoria and Crawford, you just say, when can these guys, who's going to get hot in this crowd? I mean, you know, they've got people batting in positions that if you had other people, you wouldn't have these guys in the 3-4-5 spot.
And really, when you look at this lineup, you can't have multiple guys struggling if you're going to have any sort of offensive success. You need Belt to be playing up to his career averages. You need Longoria and Crawford to be doing the same. So if Posey's off to a tough start, the other four guys who are key contributors in this lineup can't also be in that same hole. And that's what's happened for the Giants. It's not just one or two guys who are struggling. It's the primary five hitters in the middle of that order who just really haven't put it together yet this season. That's troubling for the Giants.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, the first two guys don't get on, which you covered already, which I think there will be some changes. You know, Farhan is sort of, biding his time. But, boy, I can see he's got to be itchy. And the only way to scratch that itch are people with options. And Henry implied Duggar and Panic have options. Can anything happen there?
They could. I think we're still going to see Farhan wait until about the 40-game mark so that you get 30 games out of the AAA guys, get a larger sample size from those guys. And maybe you bring up Mike Gerber. Maybe you look at Michael Reed again, who's still in the system. Mac Williamson hit a home run last night. They just need some sort of hope offensively right now. And, you know, they're going to let these AAA guys get hot and then 40 games in, evaluate who can go up, who can go down, who's not giving them what they want. And I think we will see shakeups throughout the course of the season, especially if the Giants struggle like they are right now. Five games under 500 through 21 games, and that's just not going to cut it.
No, well, look, we always say it on the show, and you've listened for years. You know, April and May, you figure out who you are. And that's just the way it goes. You just have to be patient through April and May because a season, you know the story. It's a mosaic. It's 162 games. It's a long season. So you have to be patient because we don't have anyone who's close to 100 at-bats. I think Duggar's got the most at-bats, and he may be in the 80s. No one's come close to 100 yet.
No. And you never want to rush judgments off the first 30 to 40 games. I mean, unless you see guys really getting hot or really struggling and there's statistics and analytics that back up that what they're doing is sustainable, it's really hard to make judgments off of, you know, a 2 to 3 week period. And that's true of any point in the season, Marty. We've talked about this before where guys will, you know, hit 300 through May 30th and then they'll struggle and hit 220 in the month of June. But because the sample size is so large, they're still a 270 hitter at that point. And so, you know, early struggles can kind of be blown out of proportion, whereas mid-season struggles are masked by the sample size. And so it's really important to consider that in the long run when you do think about the season as a mosaic, as all of your listeners do.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. What can I tell you? Because there's been 2 years of really lack of offense, and here we are into the third year, and you know, the team's hitting 206. They got a ton of strikeouts, not a lot of walks, 15 home runs. And I think that level, if this was the first year of it, you know, you could sit back and, you know, and use all the cliches of baseball. But there's a little frustration. I could feel it coming. But, well, we'll see where we go with it. Rob Beer Temple, if I said it correctly, from The Athletic, is going to be on with us later. But the Pirates are reporting that Brian Reynolds is coming up today. Did you see that, Kerry?
Yeah, I did. Exciting for the Pirates. And I think that there are some Giants evaluators who were skeptical that Brian Reynolds was ever going to reach the big leagues. Second-round pick of the Giants in 2016, traded to Pittsburgh in that Andrew McCutchen deal, along with Kyle Crick, who had such a good season for them last year. I'm not so sure that the Giants believed that Reynolds would get this crack. And so, you know, his ceiling was kind of projected as a fourth outfielder, but he's had such a good start at AAA, so I'm excited to see what he brings and what better opportunity to make his debut than against the team that traded him.
Yeah, what a story. What a story. If this guy, what if he starts hitting? You know, I could see the Adam Duvall calls coming in again, you know, Brett Quill and all that. But just to bring everyone up to date, last night a horrific collision between Starling Marte and Eric Gonzalez. I guess Marte maybe got the worst of it since Reynolds is coming up today. But Reynolds, 2016, number 59 pick in the draft of the Giants. As Kerry says, Crick was traded with him for McCutchen. But listen to this, Kerry. 13 games at AAA this year. 18 for 49, 5 homers, 11 RBIs. He's a switch hitter, 24 years old, 367, 446, and 735. He's seven walks and 11 strikeouts. And can you imagine if this guy can hit? Well, the phone calls we'll get on this.
Oh, my goodness, Marty. This has the potential. If Reynolds keeps that up or is anything close to that type of player in the big leagues, this has the potential to look really bad for the Giants, because so many people knew what they needed to do after that 2017 debacle when they lost 98 games. And then to go out and give up Crick, who's a productive reliever, and then potentially lose a homegrown outfielder who could develop into a starter to the Pirates in that deal for McCutchen, where you got 6 months out of him. I mean, this just has the potential to really snowball if Reynolds takes off here.
Yeah, we didn't see this coming, seeing him get up here that early.
No.
But he did well last year at Altoona. You know, I love that name. Altoona, I think.
Yeah, the curve.
Is that what it is? He hit over 300.
It is. You know, Giants assistant public relations director or media relations director Mike Passanisi was the voice of the Altoona curve, Marty.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Ten seasons in Altoona before joining the Giants.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You know, I want to tell you something. In listening to him in the press box, and folks who listen to the show really don't know what I'm talking about, but the guy's got a great voice, doesn't he?
Tremendous voice.
It's so funny you said
that. I tell him all the time. He's the best in the league.
Very funny. You know, so I noticed it, and I said, boy, he's so clear. All right. Well, I learned something every day. Very good, Kerry. Yeah, I like that. Very good. The Giants, Holland, today in Taillon. What do you think? I want to get to the weather in a minute with you, but what do you think about the matchup?
Oh, good matchup. I mean, Taillon's always tough. He's a good right-handed pitcher, solid veteran. You know, the Giants have trouble with these guys, and they've hit Taillon in the past, but, you know, the way they're slumping, it's going to be up to Holland today to keep them in this game, and this is really where his 2018 season took off, Marty. PNC Park, you mentioned it in the intro to this. 6 1/3 innings last year of scoreless ball, and he'd had 6 outings before that where he'd given up at least 3 runs. And then after this PNC Park outing last year, he had a 3.04 ERA the rest of the season and just developed into the second most consistent pitcher on the roster behind Derek Rodriguez. And so they're hoping that he can replicate that success because they sure need it.
Boy, the pen is doing fine, though. Melanson, can you believe Melanson? What do you think about Melanson?
It's going to be really interesting when we get to see him in high leverage situations, because it sounds like that's exactly where Bruce Bochy wants to put him. So, you know, good for Mark Melanson that he's worked his way back into that conversation, because I don't think any of us who watched him in spring training believed that he would be there. But it's really a testament to what he's been able to do these first 3 weeks of the season. 9 scoreless outings, 10 innings. I mean, he looks great.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, the thing people have to remember about him is that he works in traffic. This is the way he normally pitches. Now, he came in and got Bergen out of a hole in Washington, which, you know, thank goodness for Bergen's ERA, or else it would have gone over 10 probably. But Melanson likes to work in traffic, and somehow he gets out of it. Now, I know the couple of years he's been here, he's been hurt, but I think this is an interesting development because, number one, it maybe makes him marketable.
Absolutely. And you're talking about two pitchers in Mark Melanson and Jeff Samardzija, who went into the season really without any sort of trade value. And in the first month, they've already proven that they can get big league hitters out again. And that's a huge development for the Giants if they are looking to facilitate any sort of rebuild come July. I mean, you're going to be talking about two pitchers. They would still have to eat significant portions of those contracts. But you know, you're talking about two pitchers who could suddenly be marketable to playoff clubs.
Yeah, Farhan's hungry. He's going to eat, believe me.
Yes, we
will
that.
Eat. He
we
will
that.
Eat. I'm telling you, the guy is itchy. And I expect something to happen here after this road trip. But you guys go to Toronto next. All right, what's the weather like?
Well, it was beautiful this morning when I went out for a walk. And, you know, if this was not a national game on Fox, we would have started at 1 o'clock today. It would have been perfect. But the forecast calls for rain to start falling right at 4 o'clock local time in Pittsburgh, which, of course, is right at first pitch. So hard to predict right now because the skies are still clear. But, you know, I kind of wish that this game got off at 1.
All right. Well, you know, crazily, you know, Raph is laughing. You know, KNBR sends out a schedule. To me in the beginning of the season and has every start time and all that. Well, they had the start time today for me at 4 p.m. that I would start at 4 p.m. How about that? Or I would be on at noon. So luckily, Luckily, we figured it out. Or else I'd be home sleeping right now. But all right. Well, I think it's, you know, the road trip is 1-3. Right, 1-3 right now, and two more in Pittsburgh. Then it's off to Toronto. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to meet you in Toronto. How about that?
Oh, couldn't be more excited for that. We get to see Tatis's debut on March 28th, and then Guerrero's debut less than a month later. I mean, that's awesome.
Very good. All right, Kerry. Thanks for being on. Where are the folks today?
They're up in Lake Tahoe this weekend, Marty.
Wait, what a life.
Coming back.
What a life. Nancy Hayden Crowley and FX. What a life. All right. Have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll follow you on Twitter as well.
Look forward to it, Marty.
All right. That is Kerry Crowley. Always a pleasure to have him on.